You're listening to Talking GAA with Dave O'Grady. If you want to advertise, sponsor, or simply get involved with the program, send us an email to theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Chat to you soon. Yes, indeed. You're very welcome along to another edition of Talking GAA with Dave O'Grady. I'm delighted to be joined by Damien and Armagh. Damien, you're very welcome to the show. A great win for your footballers at the weekend.
Dave, it doesn't get any better. It's a good weekend from Armagh.
Good man yourself. Yeah, we talked about it on last week's programme and you said that Armagh would do the business. I'm also joined by David in Meath. David, welcome to the programme.
How you doing, Dave?
Good man yourself. And also, returning for 2012 is Graham from Cork. Graham, we missed you on last week's programme. I actually called Aylby. I thought Aylby was our guy from Cork, but it's not. It's you. You must be delighted.
Yeah, good win yesterday for Cork, but, you know, it's his early days in the season. I wouldn't be getting carried away this time of the year.
Indeed, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by our special guest for this evening, Meath footballer Mark Ward. Mark, thanks a million for joining us on the programme.
How are you, Dave? Yeah, no problem.
Mark, first things first, let's look at Meath's pretty emphatic win over Westmeath. It was pretty comfortable for you guys. A lot of people were saying it was a pretty disappointing Allianz Football League clash, but no doubt you guys won't be too disappointed with what kind of game it is to come away with a result like that.
No, it wasn't disappointing from our point of view anyway. No, it was great. Great to get the win. Great to get our first away win in the league in a long time. So it was a kind of a hurdle that we had to get across. And I mean, we never have an easy game against Westmeath, and just delighted to get the win. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, that was the one thing I'd say, Mark. You know, usually you'd be expecting Westmeath to put it up to you guys a little bit more. Were you a little bit disappointed that it was almost like they didn't bring their A game, or maybe it was the case that you guys were just too much for them on the day?
Oh, well, I suppose, I mean, like, Westmeath were hit badly with the absence of the Gary Castle players, and, you know, they were carrying a lot of injuries as well, so I mean, they were probably a little bit under strength. Our attitude was very good going into the game, and, you know, we were really up for it. There was no complacency at all. So I suppose we were strong. You know, they had their kind of a few things that went against them. And I think just on the day, it just things didn't go right for them, and they went right for us. You know, like, I suppose you can't really read into it too much, but we're just delighted to get the win, yeah.
Yeah, yourself and Brian Mead there were supplying the forwards with a lot of opportunities. I guess, you know, when you guys are playing well, it is going to create chances for your forwards, and we all know what the Mead forwards can do on their day.
Yeah. Getting just the priority is getting the ball through the lads, you know, because they're playing really well at the moment, moving really well. Stephen Bray is coming back to his top form, and he's really moving well. Graham Riley is flying. Paddy Gilsonen is in. He was kind of in and out last year, and he's really kind of cemented the place this year. So, yeah, the lads are flying, and I suppose from midfield point of view, we just have to try and win the dirty ball and the dirty possession and get the ball to the lads, you know, and let them do the business. So we were delighted, yeah, we were delighted it went well yesterday, and we were able to get the ball to the lads, and they did the job, you know.
Yeah, coming to yourself, David, and as a Meath fan, you must have been delighted to see that scoreline over Westmeath, 17 points to 5. And I know Westmeath were reduced to 14 men in the second half for that, but I don't think that made any difference at that stage of the game, because it seemed to be from the start, Meath were just on top all through it. You must have been pretty happy as a Meath fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, considering, you know, the way the league went last year for Meath, where they kind of, you struggled to get going, and it was obviously the manager's first season in charge, and they kind of escaped relegation on the last day against Tyrone with a draw. So compared to that, it's a great start to have 4 points up on the board already, and, you know, what, 115 last week, and then another 17 points yesterday. So that's, you know, it's really good scoring. And it's just, I'm just personally delighted for, you know, the players, and I know the work that's been going in there, you know, since the start of season training and all that. There was a lot of, you know, seemed to be a lot of negativity around the appointment of the manager last year from certain sections of Meath fans, which I never really understood.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me almost that some people were almost willing them to do badly in some parts of the county, which was, you know, was not what you want. So I'm delighted for the management and the players that they've gotten off to a good start. Obviously, as Mark said, it's early days, and you know the results this time of the year probably won't count for a whole lot once the championship comes. But it's important that you get off to a good start, and that you get into a winning habit. And as I said, scoring like as heavily as they are at the moment always bodes well for the future, you know.
Yeah, indeed, Mark. I know McEnany, he had said that the target was to win every single game as you go along. And I guess another 2 points in Division 2 is pretty good because, you know, Division 2 is a lot more difficult than people think, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, Division 2 is seriously strong this year when you've, you know, the likes of Derry, you know, Tyrone, Kildare, you know, a lot of big teams there. So getting the early points was really important. And I suppose, yeah, you want to win every game and obviously you want to win the league and you want to win Leinster and you want to win the All-Ireland. But I suppose you have to have some short-term goals, you know. And I suppose our short-term goal was get 4 points from four, you know, coming into the break in the league. And that's, we're just delighted that, you know, we got those 2 points. And I suppose, I mean, last year, you know, Seamus wouldn't have had a lot of time with us after he was appointed to kind of, you know, find his best players, find his best squad, and then to try and get a game plan going. And I just think it's great this year. You know, he has that year behind him now, and we're kind of working on a bit of a game plan. And it's just, you know, it's a better lead in, and it's great to get 4 points as well, just to kind of back up the work that we've done, you know. So, yeah, we won't get too carried away. You know, it's the league. It is important, but yeah, happy to have 4 points on the board, you know.
And one of the things, you know, a lot of people have said, Mark, over the past few years, that teams that tend to do well in the league don't seem to do it on the championship stage. But I guess if you're looking at, say, Dublin last year and getting to a league final, Pat Gilroy last year had talked Dublin's, even in the league, talked all these games down, but they went on a little bit of a run, and it certainly did seem to benefit them in the championship. Do you think a good league run for Meath would certainly benefit you guys later in the championship, and also, you know, especially if you guys got to play a couple of games in Croke Park as well?
Yeah, I think the league seems to be carrying more importance over the last few years. I don't know, from playing, it seems over the last two or three years that the league just seems to be so important. I mean, the O'Byrne Cup, you can do a bit of experimentation and stuff like that, but once the league starts, it's, you know, get your best 15, best 20 lads on the pitch and getting lads fit, and like it really is important to get a good run and kind of get winning ways. And I don't know, just, you know, when you get that winning feeling around, you know, has a good atmosphere in the camp. And yeah, I think it is very important. I think it's very important to have a good league run. I mean, obviously, you know, come Leinster, come the All Ireland, you know, it won't count for a whole lot if you don't do well. But yeah, I'd be definitely one that would be in favour of, you know, doing well in the league, you know.
Coming to yourself, Graham, in Cork, now you know it yourself with the Cork footballers, they've done pretty well in the league and it has transpired into championship form, but you'd probably go along with what Mark said there in the sense that if you do tend to get a good run in the league, it can definitely benefit you later on in the season.
Yeah, it really worked for Cork over the last couple of years because they had a lot of baggage with losing All-Ireland finals, and to win the league, the first league they won against Mayo, was the big one, I suppose. It meant they won a title in Croke Park. Last year was a bit unusual, I suppose, in that in the game against Dublin, they were well behind in that game, and it was more a case of Dublin throwing away the game than Cork winning it. Dublin really panicked, and Cork got a run on them in the second half and managed to get over the line. But Conor Coonan made a point there on one of the media days before the league started, that winning the league last year for Cork was probably a bad thing because it gave them a false sense of security going into the championship, and he felt that maybe had they had lost the league, it might have shown up a few quirks in their setup. And that probably applied to Dublin last year, in that Dublin lost the league, and I think they did a lot of soul searching before the championship, and it really ironed them out for the rest of the year. So, you know, it can have a two-pronged effect, and I suppose Meath be one of these sides that want to get up to Division 1.
Yeah.
And I say Banty's under a bit of pressure to probably deliver something, you know?
Of course, yeah. And I just want to bring that point to Damien in Armagh. Damien, you know, a couple of years ago, I watched Donegal win the league and I put Donegal down to win the All-Ireland. How wrong was I? Because they did atrocious in Ulster that year. And I was very surprised because they looked so good in the league. But I suppose, Damien, as you know yourself, it's a very different game to Championship.
Look, there's no doubt about it. The league is completely different than the Championship. But I believe if you get a run in the league, it sets you up nicely for the Championship. And I think if the managers are cooting up, they should be able to pick out what needs sorted out and what doesn't. And like, I would agree and disagree with some of the lads there, because I remember Armagh got to the league final, beat Mayo in Croke Park, and it was, you know, that match was actually to be played, would you believe it or not, in Roscommon, and it rained the whole day, the whole weekend, and so we went over to Mayo, or over to Roscommon, and the place was closed down, there wasn't a dry place to be seen. So the next week the match was in Croke Park, and I still think if you're playing competitive games, tough games, like, you know, league finals is typical championship. And if you get a good run and you get a settled team, you know, any team that can pick maybe 13 or 14 if they're starting 15, they're sitting nice with the championship. And I think that's what the league's about. There's no question about it. I mean, take Armagh, like this last 2 weeks, people up here would have said there's no way Armagh was going to get any points out of the two games between Cork and Kerry. And we actually should have been sitting on 4 points rather than three. So I think it's important that you get a run in the league and then you set yourself up nicely for the championship.
Yeah, Mark, do you think, you know, like a lot of teams seem to be taking the league a lot more seriously, and I suppose it's very refreshing for yourself, your teammates, and especially the Meath fans when they see, you know, the likes of Graham Geraghty being sprung from the bench. It gives the crowd a whole lift, and to see that in a league, it's very important, because we're used to seeing it, perhaps a legend like that coming back and playing championship, but when you see them coming in for the league, I know it happened with a few Dublin players a couple of years ago, but, you know, when you see them coming on for the league, it's great for the game, I suppose.
Yeah, it's great. I think it was the biggest cheer of the day when Graham came on. It usually is. Great to have Graham back and fit, and, you know, he got a bad injury, and I suppose trying to get back fit, he couldn't do any running on it. So, you know, it's good to get him on the pitch and get some game time into him, because, you know, we all know how good Graham has been and can be on a sunny day in Croke Park. So,
yeah.
I think the importance is to get Graham as fit as we can, and I definitely think he can add something to us, you know, and like, even just having him in there in the setup is brilliant for us, and he's brilliant with the new lads and the younger lads, and a lot of lads look up to Graham, you know, so it's brilliant, just brilliant to have him around, you know, and it's great to see him kind of getting a bit of game time and getting back a bit of fitness as well. So I suppose if he can keep going the way he's going, you know, hopefully he'll have a part to play for us, you know.
Yeah, Mark, what's the training like for you guys at this stage of the year? We've spoke about it quite a bit on the show over the past few weeks, and that you know, oh, as the years go by, it just seems to be getting harder and harder for inter-county footballers, especially the younger ones that might be playing, say, under-21s as well as their clubs. I know you're involved with a pretty competitive club there in O'Mahony's or that. So it must be very difficult even at this early stage.
It is, yeah, training. I mean, it's like having another job, really. And I suppose, like, I commute from Dublin back down to training. So, you know, you're talking about 6 hours out of your day, really, between traveling down, traveling back, training, all that sort of stuff. Like, it does take time management. And to be honest, you know, as far as we're concerned, especially with the younger lads playing with the colleges, playing Sigerson, playing club, under 21s, it just takes, I suppose, all the managers to be talking to each other. And, you know, Banty does a good job there with the younger lads. If they're playing a game the day before, he won't expect them to, you know, maybe train the night after and stuff like that. So it needs to be managed well. Like, there's a lot of training going on, especially in these early months. I suppose as you get on further on in the league and that, and coming up to your games, the week of your games, you know, you'll be doing a little bit less. But, you know, January and February is heavy time for training. So it's a tough one, but it just needs to be managed, you know, and the boys do manage it well enough at the moment anyway.
Yeah, because David, coming to you, you know, I've always thought that it seems to be a little bit unfair on inter-county footballers, particularly as Mark was saying, those that are involved with the colleges and the clubs and that, and you know, it needs to be managed a little bit better. I truly believe that it probably is like a second job or a full-time job, as Mark was alluding to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, even for, like, you know, I would have only kind of, obviously myself and like most of us would have played, you know, club football for years, and even that's putting demands on people's time. So I can only, well, I can only just imagine how much more demanding it must be to be involved at county level, especially in the modern era when, you know, you'd see the likes of Dublin like up at 5 o'clock in the morning for training and this kind of thing. I think I read somewhere that they were up an hour earlier this year than they were last year. So if they win another round this year, they'll be up another hour earlier next year probably for training, you know.
Yeah.
So it just seems to, you know, to get tougher and tougher every year. It's I suppose, as Mark said, it takes a lot of time management. It also takes, you know, the manager to be, as you say, very smart and to be watching who's doing what, like what lads are playing, as he said, colleges, and, you know, are some lads doing an awful lot more than others. You don't want to have lads picking up injuries. Even just aside from injuries, just lads just getting fed up of playing football and getting burnt out by their mid-20s, you know. Like the age profile of your senior county football team has dropped an awful lot over the last kind of 10, 15 years. So, it's obviously a massive drain on the time, and it's all the more credit to the lads for keeping that commitment up, you know, because a lot of the time they don't get a lot of thanks for it from certain fans.
Yeah. And Mark, you know, David talked about the commitment there that you guys put in. And of course, your club, Navan O'Mahony's, I mean, they've got a pretty good history in Meath football. I mean, they always seem to be challenging, but I think it was something like, I think 2008 was the last time you guys won the county championships, and we see the likes of Summerhill and that coming through. It's probably making things a little bit harder having a very competitive Meath County Championship at the same time.
Yeah, the club situation is a difficult one, and over the last, I suppose, 6 or 7 years, we've had a lot of club players in with the county, so that hasn't helped us in the league. And that, you know, when there's so many lads away training with Meath and kind of missing out on the club, and you don't really get a chance to come back and train with the lads until championship time, and even at that you only get a week leading up to the championship match. So it does make it difficult, and I suppose it's probably frustrating for the lads, frustrating for the club management as well. It's just something that we kind of have to manage. We've definitely, you know, we kind of let ourselves down the last few years, definitely. We won it in 2008, but I think we lost 3 or 4 finals as well. It's been tough, and we really want to give it a good go again this year. But the Meath Championship is a ridiculously tough championship to win. I don't know how Dunshaughlin won 3 in a row in the early, what it was, 2001 and 2002, 2003, something like that, because it's just so hard to win them back-to-back. Hard to win one, never mind win back-to-back. So, yeah, it's difficult. The club championship is difficult, and it is difficult to manage, you know, getting back to the club and slotting into a different group of players, you know, when you don't get the opportunity to train with them all the time, you know. So it's difficult, but I suppose it's just something we can't help, really. We just have to grin and bear it, really.
Indeed. And you, Mark, you've been involved with UCD, and I think you've been pretty successful there. I think you won Sigerson football or that. How does the college's style of football compare to that of, say, the club or the county? I mean, with the likes of UCD, it's almost like, I mean, with the panel they can choose from, it's almost like a dream team of players from all over the place.
Yeah, UCD days were great. We had a pretty star-studded team at the time, and we won the Dublin Championship in 2008, I think.
Yeah.
Or 6. One or the other, I can't remember. But yeah, we won the Dublin Championship, and we were in the few Sigerson finals and that. And, you know, it was brilliant football. It was winter football. So it was, you know, a little bit different than playing county football in Cole Park. But it was great. Yeah, it was very high level. And
a lot of people say those games are great to watch.
Yeah, a lot of it's amazing the amount of Sigerson games that you see going down to the wire, ending up going to extra time and draw after extra time, and they're really competitive. So the Sigerson football is something that I definitely miss, you know. Very competitive and great games to play in.
Indeed they are. And just before I let you go, Mark, I just have to say, I was reading up a little bit on your Wikipedia page. Now, I know a lot of GA players have these pages written about them or something, but I think in like the third paragraph, it mentions a big, you're an exclusive member of Copperface Jacks. I suppose it's something that a lot of GA players, they can boast, but I think that place seems to have really remained an anchor across GA and players and families. Everybody seems to know it. No doubt you've been in there a few times.
Yeah, I still define the culprit for that page. I don't know where that came from. Copfish, actually. I've been in it once or twice, all right. Yeah, it's a good little spot, okay. Yeah, in the off-season, you know, we go there every now and again, but obviously I haven't seen it in a while.
You probably missed it, yeah. And, you know, when GA, you see a lot of GA players, Mark, when they say, especially in the championship, and there's, with the emergence, I suppose, of online media and that, you see YouTube clips. And have you Googled yourself or put your name into YouTube to find somebody that's put up a video of you with a bit of music on the background or that kind of thing?
No, actually, one of the lads in work told me he was looking for a picture of me getting a punch in the face after the Loud match. One of the lads at work, and he told me that he put in my name into YouTube, and there's just a charity boxing fight of myself and Shane O'Rourke from last year. So, I think that's all that's really up there. I think it's more Keane Ward that has has all those kind of videos up on YouTube. Not me, I'm afraid.
Ah, right. Well, not to worry. Listen, well, Mark, thanks a million for joining us on the programme. You've been absolutely terrific. We wish yourself and your teammates the very best of luck now going forward in the Allianz National League. And we look forward to seeing you in those Leinster Battle Championship games in Croke Park later on in the season.
That's it. Thanks, Dave.
Yes, indeed. Mead footballer Mark Ward there. We thank him for joining us on the programme this evening. Lads, I want to look at the Allianz National Football League, and I'm going to come to yourself, Graham, first. Cork, a pretty emphatic win over Down, 4-11 to 10 points. You must have been delighted. We all knew Down would be up against it in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. A good win for the Rebels.
Yeah, good win. They got off to a bad start. They were 3 points down after 10 minutes, and it was Down who looked the better side. But Down resorted to very negative tactics, playing at sometimes they're only four forwards, crowding out the midfield and forcing Cork to kick it long, which suited Cork down to the ground, actually, because Donoghue O'Connor was outstanding yesterday. He won every 50-50 ball that came into him, and it forced Cork to move the ball at pace, and, you know, goals win matches. They got Paddy Kelly got two goals, and then they got another penalty before half-time, which O'Connor slotted away. So the game is packly up at half-time, and it's the third time now Cork have played Down in matches since the All-Ireland final. And Cork have destroyed them on three occasions, and really Down were very poor yesterday. And if you add to Donegal being beaten as well, Derry being beaten, you know, it looks a two-horse race in Ulster with a Tyrone and Armagh, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. And Damien, you know, on last week's programme we were talking, I think, about Liam Doyle, and I think he started the game pretty well, but it wasn't really to be for the Down lads. It was always going to be difficult going down to Páirc Uí Chaoimh to take on Cork, but as Graham was saying, you probably would have expected a little bit more from the All-Ireland finalists 2 years ago.
I thought that Down would have put up a better performance. There's no question about it. It is hard to go down to Páirc Uí Chaoimh and try and get a result. I remember a couple of years ago, Armagh went down and Cork absolutely hammered us, you know. Maybe psychologically Down maybe could have been beat before they went down. It's hard to know. I mean, I don't think they're as bad as the score made it out to be, but I mean, we played Cork the week before, and you know, before the match we thought a draw would have been a great result, and at the end we were disappointed we didn't win the game. So it's hard to know. Even take Kerry as well, you know, 1 week they're brilliant, the next week maybe it's psychological. I don't know, it's a hard one to call, but I still think that Down have more in them than the showed on Sunday. But I suppose an away game and travelling for the night, it's a tough one for any team, you know, except for Armagh.
indeed. Before we go there though, Damien, I want you to talk about another Ulster County and Donegal. I thought they would have won this one, but it wasn't to be. Leash winning out by 3 points. There was a bit of a late rally from Donegal, but I always felt that Leash had this one in the bag, particularly at half time when they were 1-6 to 4 points up. You know, I know there was an injury time penalty goal or that. It was a good performance, and we spoke about Justin McNulty. You know, he seems to be starting to get this team to gel.
Oh, well, it takes a little bit of time, and as Mark was saying earlier on there, you know, it does take a little bit of time to get the team right, and maybe Justin is starting to get a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Go back to Donegal, you know, probably the row with Cassidy didn't help the thing. Going back even to Sunday, the interview on TG4, you know, things like that don't help. And I think at the back, you know, at the back of everything, those little things fester. So if Donegal, like, I mean, they got a goal, which probably, I suppose it's like the goal that England got in 66 that never was.
Yeah.
You know, did the ball cross the line? You know, looking back, I don't think it did. But like, they got two lucky goals, and only for that, Meath gave them an absolute hammering. So it's going to be tough for Donegal. Donegal need to get, they need to get their skates on, and they need to get a score on the board very quickly, because all of a sudden you're fighting stave off relegation. And I know last week we talked that it get relegated. It doesn't look like that now.
No, it doesn't. And David, you know, we also spoke about the Laois team and the fact that, you know, we see the likes of Pádraig Clancy and that he had been played up front and that, and they, you know, they were having to rely on these lads up front, but they seemed to do the business. I mean, Clancy collected their second goal, and going into the final quarter of the game, they were well on their way. I think 2-9 to 4 points or that. But would you go along with that point that Damien made in the sense that at the back of the mind with the whole Donegal situation with Cassidy and, you know, that spurned on that post-match interview as well with Jim McGuinness?
Yeah, I think it's... The thing with Donegal is, I mean, they put together a run last year that was built on absolute like and total commitment. I'd like to see how many training sessions they did and how much work they were doing. I can't imagine too many teams trained more you know, harder than Donegal last year. And the way they played demanded such a massive buy-in from all the players, insofar as, like, I can't imagine it was a particularly enjoyable type of football to play. I know when you're at that level, it's not just about enjoying it, it's more about winning, but it was so negative that I'd say it took a massive buy-in from all of the players. And if there's any bit of a drop-off in that at all, if any of the players maybe over the winter, you just don't know what goes through lads' heads. The Cassidy thing wouldn't have helped. You don't know where some players maybe during the winter thinking, you know, we had the winning of an All-Ireland semi-final last year in the palm of our hands, and we didn't kick on and take it. And maybe do some of them maybe hold that, put that down to Jimmy McGuinness's tactics and kind of not letting them kind of take the shackles off to a degree. Again, that's all, you know, it's all just speculation on my part. But the way that they play demands such a high level of effort and team spirit and hard work. And if any of them kind of start to kind of doubt in, you know, start to doubt the way that the style of play they're playing in, it's going to have a negative impact on the results. And I mean, they were getting a hammering yesterday. They were, I think, 11 points down at one stage.
Yeah.
They got the two goals, one of which I didn't think was over the line. The other one was very scrappy. So that put a massive gloss on the scoreline. I mean, they weren't within a mile of Laois, which is surprising because you wouldn't, you know, before yesterday, you wouldn't have really expected Laois to go and win that game. So yeah, Donegal are going to, you know, they need to pick it up pretty quickly because it's a relatively short league campaign. And if you lose your first two matches, you're really looking down the barrel at that stage already, you know.
A quick point, will Jim McGuinness change his tactics?
Well, I know we covered this last week a little bit, and I was referring to an interview I saw with him where he had said that, you know, that he was looking at an overall plan, and last year was stage one of it. So I would expect him to kind of introduce a little bit more adventure into their play. But you're just gonna have to wait and see how it pans out for them. But certainly they're gonna need to kind of get their act together very quickly in the league. And if they suffer with a bad league campaign, and you go into the championship, and especially in Ulster where it's so competitive. Then, you know, they're going to be under pressure. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for Donegal.
Yeah, it will indeed. And we hope that we can see a little bit more, from Donegal in the next few games. Coming to yourself, Graham, and I want to give you the Julie duty of, talking about Kerry's defeat to Armagh. No doubt as a proud Cork man, you would have been happy to see this one. You know, Armagh quite shocked Kerry in their home patch. It was a terrific performance by the Orchard men. You know, it was great to see the skill level as well as the physique there. I think they were 1-3 to no score out in front by the first 15 minutes. And, you know, to see them come out of the traps like that, it was very refreshing as well. But you know, we don't usually see Armagh do well when they travel down south, but this time it looked good.
Yeah, that was a real coupon buster. If you're like me and you do a few teams at the weekend, you would have had Kerry nailed on there. I think they were 1-12, but a very, very impressive by Armagh. I mean, they were missing the Cross McGlynn players. I know Kerry were missing the Dr. Croaks, but you know, the Cross McGlynn players would be a much bigger loss to Armagh than the Croaks to Kerry. And I mean, they lined out there with six forwards watching the on the television last night. I didn't know any of the six names. And you know, goals win games again. First goal was a great goal. Second goal was a bit dubious. And you know, in Malachy Mackin in the middle of the park was outstanding. He dominated. And you know, Kerry were very poor. You wonder too, you're talking about teams being poor this time of the year. You wonder what training teams are doing. You wonder were Kerry really pushing themselves during the week, thinking that they had a soft game coming up here, and were they a bit heavy-legged? The odds, I suppose, at 1-12 probably put put a bit of confidence into them and they win over Dublin last week. But, you know, Kerry go to Donegal the next day out and I don't think they'll be as lacklustre up there because, you know, Kerry don't do really two defeats in a row in any type of championship. So a very good win for Armagh and it puts them in a very good position now with two hard games out of the way. And, you know, it's very competitive this year and, you know, you'd expect... I think the semi-finals are back in the league this year, so, I mean, you can probably afford to maybe lose a game or two that you probably weren't afforded to lose last year if the semi-finals are back. So maybe the top four, Kerry, will sneak in eventually. But, you know, it makes very interesting and a great boost for Armagh because they're a side that, you know, missing the Cross McGlen players and having such a young panel on duty on Saturday, it was a great win for them.
Yeah, Damien, did you think that Kerry were panicking and that Jack O'Connor, you know, he was forced to summon Declan O'Sullivan from the bench? And I think in something like Declan O'Sullivan's first touch, he picked up a yellow card, which was probably a little bit harsh, but Kerry looked a bit frustrated.
You know, it's great to see Kerry frustrated in a football match because, you know, you're not supposed to frustrate Kerry. You're actually not supposed to beat Kerry when you go down to Kerry to play them, you know, and listening to the commentators on Setanta and TG4 and, I mean, and the radio Kerry, Wishy. I just think those guys were looking at a different match. The Armagh guys, they're young. The young fellas that's coming in, they're saying to Paddy Rourke and Grimley, they're saying, look, lads, you know, we're here. We want our place in the championship. And it's going to be tough for the Cross McGlen fellas coming back. You know, like Aaron Kernan coming in at wing back would be a superb addition to Armagh, but who do you drop after this last two performances? Jamie Clark, well, you know, Jamie Clark's coming into the forward line. Again, you know, the forwards work well. And going back to the goal, you know, the goal that Armagh got at the start of the second half, you know, big high ball in, big John Kingham, he flicked the ball back. And if you go back and look at the replay, he was outside the square. Yes, he ended up in the square when he fell, but he was outside when he made contact. So it was a good goal. And goals win matches. There's no question, you know, the people up here, there was, you know, can we beat Kerry? They probably would have said no, but a good performance would have been acceptable. But the way them lads went down and they played, you know, they played the heart and soul. They left everything on the field. You know, they worked hard for the ball. They fought for every ball. They kicked some great scores. And when Kerry came back at them, which is good from an Armagh point of view, the lads were able to withstand the Kerry onslaught and then clip off a few points. And, you know, that broke the Kerry hearts. And there's no question about it. Kerry were sore because I don't know at the end of the match if they were booing the referee or they were booing the Kerry team coming off. It's a hard one to call in that case. I would contend that they were probably booing the Kerry players coming off because of the performance. Because as I said earlier, you know, you're not allowed to beat Kerry down in Tralee. So, yeah. You know, it was a fabulous night for Armagh. And it shows that, you know, bringing the young fellas through is working, you know, like, I think 5 under 21 players playing in the forward line on Saturday night. You know, it's great for Armagh. The future, you know, as I say up here, the future is orange. The orange juice is sizzling in Armagh at the moment. And long may it continue.
Long may it continue. That orange juice is sizzling, Damien. And just for Armagh now going forward in the league, how do you think they're going to fare? Will they be able to really stay in Division 1, which is, I guess, the aim?
Well, I mean, after this last 2 weeks, there's no question that Armagh's going to stay in Division 1. You know, obviously they have to, don't take the eye off the ball. You know, we have Mayo coming in 2 weeks' time. And, you know, after listening to Kevin McStay last night, we owe Mayo a fair good hammering after what he said on the TV last night. And we take it very personal when the commentators, they don't give us credit when we should get the credit for the way the boys perform. And Gaelic football, it's a man's sport, you know, and there was a couple of incidents on Saturday night that shouldn't have happened, but it did. And, you know, you take it on the chin and get on with it. Gaelic football's tough, it's hard. You know, come back to Mark earlier on, the Meath team of the 80s, you know, brilliant stuff. The Armagh team of the late 90s and the early noughties, like, you know, hard, tough football, but fair. And they do take it to the line, and that's what you have to do. Yeah. I suppose a gripe, Dave, would be that when a forward is coming at a defender and the defender touches the forward straight away, he's getting a free. And that's something that frustrates me as a football man. I hate that. I love watching the hurlers. I watched the hurling on Sunday and Saturday, and it was mighty stuff. It was just fantastic. And they just play on. No fouls, yeah. Just tough stuff. Play on.
Yeah, it's free flowing. And David, just a final point before we finish, just to yourself. And I mean, we've seen the likes of Kildare and Monaghan, and it seemed to kick off between those lads. Is there a problem, or is these little heated exchanges the reason why, I guess, referees and that are clamping down on minor things, like, for instance, as Damien was saying, a forward running through and the defender coming across, touching him, and bang, the whistle is blown? Or, you know, what did you make of this Kildare Monaghan thing? Was it just handbags? There was nothing in it?
Well, I wanted to say that I'm just glad Jack O'Connor didn't come out and condemn Kieran McKeever and say he was a disgrace and should never play for Armagh again after the weekend that's in it with Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
But I think the Kildare and Monaghan thing looked to be, there was one punch, if you could call it, well, there was a kind of a punch thrown, in fairness, by the Kildare guy, the name escapes me, that was sent off. But it didn't seem to be a whole lot going on in it, to be fair. I saw Dick Clerkin tweeting last night that it was all handbags and, you know, chest puffing and whatever. It looked like there was a bit of aggro going down the tunnel as well. But it didn't, to be honest, as far as these rows go, it didn't look to be anything serious. Like, you know, for example, there was the primetime thing that was on last week where they showed the 96 row between Meade and Mayo, and that was a proper fight.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, there was some serious slaps thrown in that fight, in that row. But I mean, you know, you compare that to what happened yesterday, and it's, you know, there's no comparison. Like, I was looking at it a few times, and there was a lot of shoving and pushing, and lads kind of shaping up and kind of holding me back sort of stuff. But I didn't really see anything in it to warrant a mass investigation or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, and just I'll leave the final word to yourself, Graham. Probably you'd agree with what Damien is saying. You know, the referees should let the games flow. Gaelic football is a physical game. It should be, you know it yourself. The Cork team are big lads. They're well able for the Ulster lads, I'll say. But do you believe that the game should be let flow a lot more than it is? And maybe perhaps if the games are more enjoyable, then perhaps you might see less of this bickering and you know, the handbags that we see, you know, at halftime going in the tunnel and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's crept in, I suppose, from the Premiership in England. You know, slight touch on the shoulder and you're down, and we've seen players, you know, waiting for a leg to come out, going for penalties as well in Gaelic football. But I watched the game yesterday, Monaghan against Kildare, saw the highlights last night, and you know, the Kildare fellow was very unlucky to be sent off, to be honest. Tomás O'Shea done an awful lot worse on Saturday night, and he got a red card. But you know, it was handbag stuff between Monaghan and Kildare, and you know, Kildare paid a price there after losing two matches in a row. But really, the physicality in football has been taking away. I mean, you know, we had some great physical players from all counties. Meade had their fair share of them in the 80s, and I mean, Colm O'Rourke last night said that he'd love to play in the fog because he could have settled plenty of old scores in the fog when people wouldn't have spotted him.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's something that's it's crept in. Hurling, I suppose, is different in that you can kind of disguise the tackle in hurling a lot more, I suppose, when you have a hurley in your hand, and you can kind of, you know, in football it's man to man, and it's you know, it's been taking a lot out of it, I suppose. Referees are probably under pressure as well, and you know, they have analysers above the stand watching them, and if they don't dish out enough yellow cards, maybe they feel that they're going to get punished later on by an analyser in the stand, you know.
And just, Graham, finally, how do you think that match would have gone between Mayo and Dublin had the second half commenced? I mean, as you said, you know, to find your way through that fog would have been a difficult task, but no doubt one or two of those players would have been able to.
Yeah, it was an interesting one to call, actually. Dublin were ahead by 3 points at half-time, and they were down to 14 men, and apparently, watching the sport last night, that red card will stand, you know, because in GA, whatever terms or whatever, if you're sent off, you're sent off. Even if the match is abandoned, the suspension will still count or whatever. But I don't know who will be the more happier. I presume Mayo will probably be the more happier that they'll get another day out against Dublin. And, you know, Dublin are up against it now. They lost their first game, and, you know, that game will probably be on next weekend. And so I say Mayo might be the slightly happier that they have another cut off them, you know.
Indeed it will. Well, I want to thank Damien, David and Graham for joining me on the football part of the section. Lads, thanks a million. You've been absolutely brilliant. I can't wait to talk Allianz National Football League, among other stuff, in the next few weeks. Lads, thanks a million for joining me. We'll be back with hurling right after the break. You're listening to Talking GAA with Dave O'Grady. If you want to advertise, sponsor or simply get involved with the programme, send us an email to theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Chat to you soon. Yes, you're very welcome back to Talking GAA with Dave O'Grady. I'm now joined by Beat FM's Stephen Long. Stephen, let's talk curling. And first things first, the Walsh Cup, Kilkenny got the win in the end. We thought it would be a much closer game, but Kilkenny just, when they had, I think they had something like 13 of their proper inter-county team on at one stage, or at least got run out throughout the game. They were always going to be probably a superior side. But what was this game like? I didn't actually see it.
Yeah, I suppose when we were talking about this last week, we said the game entirely goes down on what kind of side both sides would come up, because when you play pre-season, even pre-league tournaments, you don't know what side's going to come out. In the end, Kilkenny had Noel Hickey starting, JJ Delaney, Colin Fennelly, Richie Hogan, Richie Power. When you see a team like that come out against Galway, Kilkenny were rightly favourites, and I suppose a 9-point win is probably, it's about right over the grand scheme of things. Kilkenny were leading by 1-7 to 2 points after just 15 minutes. Richie Hogan got a goal there. So they were always kind of, you know, Galway did come into it a bit around the half-time mark and a bit after half-time as well, but you know, Kilkenny always seemed to have that extra gear if they needed to, and they were always in control. I don't think Galway ever got within 3 or 4 points of Kilkenny, so it was a fair result at the end of the day.
Were you surprised, Stephen, that you seen 13 of Kilkenny's All-Ireland winning side getting a run out in this game?
Not really, when you think of the new league's format that they have. They only play 5 league games and possibly 6 if they get to the final. So we were saying this last week as well about how these pre-league tournaments probably have a greater importance now that they have fewer league games. So it doesn't really surprise me that much. I mean, that the kind of teams that they had out was consistent all last weekend. Tipperary had a very strong team out against Cork. They had 9 of their 15 All-Ireland finalists starting in that one. Waterford against Clare, obviously a lot of experienced players starting there too. So it didn't really surprise me too much.
And for Galway, you know, were you a little bit surprised to see that they were ever reliant on Joe Canning? I think Joe Canning got something like 8 frees, or that he almost scored half their total tally. Would you have liked to seen perhaps somebody come in trying to fill the shoes? You know, maybe Galway would have benefited more by giving someone else a run out. They know what Joe Canning can do.
Yeah, well, if you look at the scores for Galway, you know, if Joe Canning isn't on fire, the second best forward in Galway is Damien Hayes, and Damien Hayes was left scoreless on Sunday. He didn't get anything from frees or from play. So, you know, when Joe Canning isn't performing, he's usually the guy to kind of crop up with the points and goals they needed to, and it obviously just didn't happen for him on Sunday. So I still think they were right to start Joe Canning. He's not really tied up with too much in the Fitzgibbon these days. So, like I said, they are under a new management as well. So it was definitely worth the new management team kind of trying to get a settled side in. And when you're playing against Kilkenny, no matter who Kilkenny have out, you want your best player starting. And obviously Joe Canning is one of them.
It's going to be a difficult league campaign and championship game for Galway, I think, going forward. Of course, you have the new management team in there, but at the same time, you know, with the likes of Dublin and that, well, you don't know what kind of Dublin are going to turn up, I suppose, in the league and championship this year, but Galway are going to be up against it.
They are, yeah. But, you know, there's extra pressure on all the teams in this new league format. I mean, there's a big possibility that teams will be going into the final game, you know, where a win could see them in the final and a lose could see them relegated. It's going to be that tight. And, you know, it has its critics, but one thing this new league system will have is, you know, very competitive games going right down to the end. And 6, you know, apart, obviously, Kilkenny and Tip are far and away both the rest, but on the other 4 sides, you know, you've got Cork, Galway, Dublin and Waterford there. You know, you won't want to see one of those sides going down to Division 1B, but that's what's going to happen. And, you know, I think all of those sides will want to make sure they're playing against the best teams possible in 2013. And Galway will be one of those. I think, first and foremost, they're going to try and make sure that they will be playing in Division 1A next year. And I think if any side win 2 of their 5 league games, they should be okay. So if they get that secure first, then they can start looking at a possible semi-final place.
Indeed, that will be interesting to see. And also, you were keeping an eye on the Waterford Crystal Cup semi-finals, and I suppose it's a bit of a mad week for Tipperary manager Declan Ryan. I mean, first things first, we've had Lark Corbett withdraw from the squad, and then there was a terrible injury for Patrick Maher. He was carried off during the game, but Tip ran out winners, but it was an understrength Cork side.
It was, yeah, and well, thankfully, Patrick Maher, the injury doesn't seem to be too serious. I think he'll probably be out for a couple of weeks, but the main thing is it should be okay for the championship, and obviously both TIP and non-TIP supporters will be happy with that. If you look at both sides that had out, it's probably surprising that Cork brought Tipperary so far as they did. I mean, Cork were leading for most of the first half, but it was always, you know, I think 3 points was the maximum difference between the two sides. And I think it was 18 points apiece after the 70 minutes. So it was obviously going right down to the very end. But, you know, when you look at the teams, it probably wasn't a surprise that Tipperary just had a bit more in the tank. And like I said, after the week that they had, it's a much needed lift anyway, let's put it that way.
How much of a blow is that for Tipperary now, Lark Corbett withdrawing from the squad?
It's incomparable to anything else. I think you would have said when we found out the only other player with such a big influence would have been John Milan with Waterford, and then that ended up happening too. No, you can't. It's not just the goals that Lark Corbett got or the points. It's the fact that he was so much of Tipperary's forward play was based around Lark Corbett and the style that they played. They were always going to, you know, lob balls into the full forward line and hope that Lara was there to kind of pick up a loose ball and slam it in the net. And, you know, that kind of scores alone counted for 3 or 4 of his goals last year. So they're going to have to, you know, rework how they attack teams. But again, Lark Corbett is not the kind of guy that will, you know, he doesn't control the game like a Henry Shefflin would.
Yeah.
But he just he's a natural athlete that will always just, you know, find the point and find the goal when you most need it to. And that's what Tip are going to miss the most.
And just what about a quick point on, you know, we've seen this with a few of the players, you know, a couple of the Kilkenny lads and that return from the game. And of course, you know, players have business commitments, family and that. Is intercounty hurling, and I suppose intercounty football as well, it can be said, you know, is it getting too much like a professional game without the money, we'll say, that these players are actually finding it very hard to juggle their lives with this? It's no longer their hobby, it's no longer their passion, it's actually more like their, I suppose, their job almost.
Yeah, well, this is something that's been debated for a while. Basically, the GEA expect a professional requirement from amateur players. They expect a professional commitment from them. You know, I know they have the so-called training ban on November and December, which doesn't really count for much considering all the players are in individual training programs. It just means that they spend more time in the gym 4 or 5 nights a week. By the time January comes, I mean, you know, I read somewhere that the Dublin football team have already had about 30 dawn training sessions up in Dublin. So they would have, you know, training sessions at 6, 7 a.m. before players go off to work. And they expect that of the journalists as well. I think before their match with Mayo last week, their press conference was at 7:30 in the morning as opposed to the usual 8 a.m. So they expect that from every type of person. But, you know, in some ways you have much more respect for guys who put in a full training session and then go off and work an 8-hour day. But when you hear about the commitment to work like that, it doesn't surprise you that you have guys like Lara Corbett who just pack it in because they can't handle it.
Yeah, and they have to live and survive at the same time. Well, Clare manager Davy Fitzgerald, he got one over on his former team there, you know, in the Waterford Crystal Cup semi-final. What did you think about this one? I think it was a 3-17 to 4-9 win.
It was, yeah. It was a weird game in that Waterford were 1-6 to 3 points up after 18 minutes. And in the 40 minutes of play between the 15th minute and the 55th minute, Clare outscored Waterford by 212 to 2 points, which is an absolutely bizarre statistic.
Yeah.
But I was at the game and that didn't surprise me. Waterford just, they collapsed. They had no shape about them. They had no, I was kind of disappointed that the management team didn't really mix it up or plan like, this guy isn't doing well, we'll try this guy instead. And, you know, like I said, it was an experienced team already. There was, like, Rick Walsh was starting, Kevin Moore and Shane O'Sullivan, the Prendergast brothers. You know, it's on paper you would have thought that Waterford team was a good 4 or 5 points better than Clare. But fair play to Clare. They played a mammoth game against Limerick last weekend, which required 2 sets of extra time. And then they beat Limerick in the replay last Tuesday night. So they already had about 150, 160 minutes of hurling. Competitive hurling played in the previous 7 days, but they were the Fisher side, they were the first every breaking ball, they were just, They absolutely deserve the win, and that's something that's going to be playing on both teams' mind when they meet again in the Munster Championship in June.
And that's the thing about the Munster Championship, you know, it's going to be great to see actually a little bit more from Clare this year. It seems that, you know, they had dropped off the mark there for a couple of years, but perhaps this could be their real, you know, break in the Munster Championship, and we might see them further afield, but I guess it's still early days.
It is, but like when Davy Fitz was appointed, he was given a 3-year contract, and we said this last week as well, how his aim was for 2013, 2014, but I'd say deep down, when that Munster Championship draw was made, and he saw that they were straight through to the semi-final against Waterford, he'd have been absolutely delighted, because nobody knows the current state of that Waterford panel better than Davy, after being with them for 3 and a bit years. And the fact that they've avoided Tip there on the other side of the draw, and they've avoided Cork too, they know that they're only 70 minutes away from a Munster final, and Clare haven't reached the Munster final since, it's been a fair few years.
Yeah.
Even if they do reach the Munster final, that guarantees them an All-Ireland quarter-final spot, which again hasn't happened in quite a while. So they're going to fancy their chances, and after how they deservedly beat Waterford by a fair few points, they were winning by 10 points at one stage. They're going to fancy their chances, and I think there's a few people in Waterford who are kind of going to look at that game with a bit more fear than they had done a couple of days ago.
Well, the banner are back, as they say, or at least we hope they are further on in the championship. Well, listen, Stephen, thanks a million for joining us on the programme this evening, and we're out of time here on Talking GAA, and thanks to all the lads. We'll be back at the same time next week. Take care. You're listening to Talking GAA with Dave O'Grady. If you want to advertise, sponsor, or simply get involved with the programme, send us an email to theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Chat to you soon.